Common ground was reached at a meeting yesterday between District 117 school officials and local minority leaders on the issue of minority hiring. Jacksonville NAACP Secretary Doris Robinson says the district has struggled to recruit and maintain minority teachers in recent years. Minority teachers make up 1.2% of the 251 teachers employed at District 117. Meanwhile, minority students make up 17% of the district. District 117 Superintendent Steve Batosik talked about those numbers.
We found out from the law, though, those are not the two numbers you need to compare. You need to compare your percentage of your minority staff to your percentage of minority candidates in the local candidate pool.
Batosik seemed pleased with the results of the hour-long meeting between leaders of the Jacksonville NAACP and Latino community.
We brought in a list of ideas on expanding the recruitment efforts, and so did they, and it just so happened those recruitment efforts were very similar.
According to a press release from District 117, the district plans to continue using the IASA job bank to bring in potential candidates. District 117 will be expanding their recruitment by inviting representatives of the Jacksonville minority community to local job fairs. The district will also reach out to job fairs at colleges and universities across Illinois and surrounding states that have significant percentages of minorities in the overall student body. Advertising in minority publications and reinvigorating the partnership of minority achievement program between the local colleges will also be a priority for District 117. The Jacksonville NAACP had threatened to sue District 117 if a plan to bring in minority teachers wasn't produced by the end of the month. Robinson says that they could still take the school district to court, but it's not something they want to do or are considering doing at this time.
As long as we can continue to have conversations that are open and honest, and we can see some effort as a result of the conversation, we'd like to pursue that course of action.
Batosik notes that getting qualified candidates was a problem during last year's hiring process, and with the help of minority organizations and associations, Batosik plans to build Jacksonville as a diverse community with the goal of casting a wider net when searching for candidates.
Do you know who that is? Nope, it's not Patrick, and it's not my dad, the Irish plumber, either. That's Old Man Winter. I'm Colleen Doyle, and the pros at Doyle Plumbing know all the ins and outs of the most efficient heating systems for your home or business. Doyle Plumbing and Heating, the oldest and most trusted company for heating in the Jacksonville area. Well, that might have been Patrick. He probably thinks we locked him out at supper time.
South Jacksonville police made two arrests today. 25-year-old Kathleen Stinson of the 1400 block of South Main was arrested at her residence at around 7 a.m. for failure to appear for retail theft and resisting a peace officer. Stinson remains in custody. 21-year-old Derek Jones of the 1400 block of South Main was arrested at around 7:30 a.m. for domestic battery. Jones remains in custody. One sentence was handed down in Morgan County Court today. 51-year-old David Black of the 400 block of West Morgan was fined $1,515 for DUI. Jacksonville police responded to reports of shots fired this morning near the District 117 Central Office. According to the JPD, officers responded at Douglas and Fayette at around 10:15 a.m. after several callers claimed they heard gunshots. Officers checked the area and spoke to several witnesses, but no shell casings or bullet holes were located. Officers noted that there were construction workers using nail guns on a building in the area. The woman accused of driving drunk and killing two people in a car crash in Pleasant Plains appeared in court yesterday. According to state police, 16-year-old Danielle Allen of Pleasant Plains and 35-year-old Stephen Moore of Jacksonville died Saturday in an accident at the hands of Andrea Little. Investigators say Little's vehicle crossed lanes on Route 125 and hit Allen's car head-on. Moore was in Little's car. Preliminary tests show that Little's blood alcohol content was 0.28, more than three times the legal limit. She's charged with aggravated driving under the influence, but many in the community are asking, why not manslaughter or reckless homicide? Our reporting partners at WICS ABC News Channel 20 caught up with Sangamon County State Attorney John Milheiser.
It sounds like it's not the most severe penalty, but the most severe penalty is aggravated DUI. It is a more severe penalty than reckless homicide. So just the way the statute and the law is written in Illinois, the most severe penalty is for aggravated DUI.
Christy Hosia, a victim service specialist with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, says it's not the law we should be focused on.
We need to focus a little bit less on the laws and more about personal responsibility. It's not difficult to designate a driver.
This isn't the first time Little has been charged with drinking and driving. She pleaded guilty to DUI in 2012 and received a year of court supervision. Authorities say there was marijuana in the car Little was driving, and if tests come back showing it was in her system, she'll face more charges. Little's defense attorney, Tim Timoney, commented on the case after the court hearing.
I know it's easy to jump to conclusions at this early stage based on bits and pieces of the facts. All of the facts we brought out to make sure that Ms. Little receives a fair trial and that her constitutional rights are protected.
If convicted, Little faces up to 28 years in prison and would have to serve 85% of that time. She's being held in Sangamon County Jail on a $1 million bond. Stephen Moore's funeral will be Friday morning in Jacksonville, and Danielle Allen's funeral is Sunday afternoon in Springfield. The value of political experience is one of many things in which the candidates for the U.S. Senate didn't agree on in their last debate. And John Gregory has the report.
During their public television debate, State Senator Jim Oberweis accused Durbin of serving for too long in Washington.
When you have career politicians like Senator Durbin, who spent 32 years in Washington, they tend to lose contact with people in their home state.
Oberweis claimed that time has made Durbin more supportive of higher taxes and overregulation. But Durbin fired back on the career politician remark by painting Oberweis as a career campaigner.
Mr. Oberweis has run for the Senate three times, for the House of Representatives twice.
He makes my point. It's not a fair match.
For the governorship once, and now for state Senate.
Durbin said he doesn't support term limits for members of Congress, while Oberweis believes the Founding Fathers would have favored them. In Chicago, I'm John Gregory.
Police are boosting their patrols over the Halloween weekend. They'll be keeping an eye out for drivers who aren't strapped in and those who are behind the wheel drunk. Anyone who plans on drinking after Halloween events should be sure to check a schedule and make sure they have a designated driver. The idea is to keep the roads safe and cut down on crash-related deaths. More than 760 people have been killed on Illinois roadways this year alone.
Like many other communities, Morgan County Public Schools face big financial challenges. State funding simply hasn't kept up with the cost of delivering vital services. Many of our school buildings are so old that maintaining them is draining the budget. Something has to be done, and it has to be done now. On Election Day, you'll have the opportunity to support our schools by passing a modest 1% increase in the local sales tax. Adding one more penny to every dollar you and visitors spend while shopping will make a huge difference. It allows us to address our decaying infrastructure and get back on track on vital services. It also shows employers that Morgan County is a great place to live and raise a family. Have questions? Visit vision117.com. To you, it's a penny per dollar. To future generations, it's about a better education. Paid for by realtors in support of local sales tax and property tax relief.
Dawes Family Funeral Homes, for families who care.
Some people prefer traditional funeral services, others prefer cremation. Some want an elaborate ceremony, others don't want one at all. Dawes Family Funeral Home offers all types of services because we know there are all types of people. At Dawes, we try to meet the needs of everyone, so stop by or give us a call today.
Dawes Family Funeral Homes, for families who care.
We now have the following death and funeral announcements to bring to your attention this afternoon. Raymond E. Little, age 81, of Winchester, died Monday at Glen Oaks Hospital in Glendale Heights. Raymond E. Little. Funeral arrangements are pending at the Dawes Family Funeral Home in Bluffs. Casey Tyvett Stewart, daughter of Corey and Olivia Stewart of Waverly, died Tuesday afternoon at Pasevan Area Hospital in Jacksonville. Casey Tyvett Stewart. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday at Nice Ayersman Hires Funeral Home in Waverly. Burial will be at Waverly East Cemetery, and visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. Larry O. Mueller, age 71 of Bluffs, died Monday at his home in rural Bluffs. Larry O. Mueller. Cremation rites have been accorded. The family will hold a private graveside ceremony, and the Dawes Family Funeral Home in Bluffs is in charge of arrangements. Monty L. Wood, age 48 of South Jacksonville, died Tuesday at Pasevan Area Hospital. Monty L. Wood. Following cremation, graveside memorial services, and military rites will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, November 4th, at Calvary Cemetery in Jacksonville. The family will meet friends following the services at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Jacksonville. Eileen Vortman, age 89 of Winchester, passed away this morning at the Scott County Nursing Center. Eileen Vortman. Funeral arrangements are pending at the Coonrod Funeral Home in Winchester.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.